The International Bible Lesson Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series for Sunday, April 14, 2019, is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 1 through 13. Hear now the word of the Lord from the English Standard Version, Matthew 26, 1 through 13. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." May the Lord bless this reading of His holy word. International Bible Lessons Commentary. Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Matthew 26, 1-13, English Standard Version, April 14, 2019. Questions for discussion and thinking further follow the verse-by-verse International Bible Lesson Commentary. Study hints for discussion and thinking further will help with class preparation and in conducting class discussion. These hints are available on the International Bible Lessons Commentary website, along with the International Bible Lesson, that you may want to read to your class as part of your Bible study. You can discuss each week's commentary and lesson at the International Bible Lesson Forum. Matthew 26, 1. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, after Jesus completed his teaching, or after he had completed teaching about the importance of the choices we make regarding preparedness for his coming in Matthew 25, about the right use of our talents, the fact that he will judge all the nations, and the fact that he, as Lord and King, will separate the righteous who will inherit eternal life from those who will go away into eternal punishment, he began to prepare his disciples for his coming death. Matthew 26, 2. You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Imagine the shock of disbelief that the disciples must have experienced after Jesus had proclaimed these strong teachings and foretold his future judgment of the nations in Matthew 25, and then immediately began to talk about his coming death, as he had done after Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ in Matthew 16:16. This time, Jesus foretold that during Passover, only 2 days away, that he would be handed over and die as a common criminal on a cross. One can imagine a greater contrast of predictions among the expectations of his disciples. Jesus always referred to himself as the Son of Man, who was to come as the promised Messiah. And no one expected the Messiah to give his life as a ransom for many. As Jesus had told his disciples earlier in Matthew 20:28. Matthew 26:3. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. In exchange for their places of privilege, almost all of the religious leaders in Jerusalem were also political leaders. They compromised with the Romans to maintain peace in Jerusalem and their personal prosperity. There were many chief priests in Jerusalem. The high priest serving at that time was Joseph Caiaphas, and contrary to Jewish law, he was appointed high priest by the Romans. All the high priests served at the caprice of Roman governors over Judea. For Caiaphas to retain his position, he had to please the Roman governors and emperor. Because he cooperated closely with Roman authorities, Caiaphas was high priest from AD 18 to 36. Matthew 26:4. And plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. Though these religious leaders resided over all the ceremonies, feasts, and temple worship proceedings, they seemed to think little about their many violations of the Ten Commandments, the law of love. Perhaps they thought their preeminence and performance of religious rituals would guarantee their favored place with the Lord, no matter what they did. They planned to use illegal means, including lying about him, to arrest and kill Jesus. Matthew 26:5. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Since their places of prominence depended on their keeping the peace in Jerusalem, so the Roman governors could maintain their places of authority under the emperor, they did not want a riot during Passover, when about 3 million Jews would be gathered together in the city. They took no thought of the immorality of their actions. They only thought of maintaining their political power and what was politically expedient. Matthew 26:6. Now when Jesus was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, Bethany was about 1.5 miles east of Jerusalem, near the Mount of Olives. Though we know very little about Simon the leper, we do know that Jesus must have healed him from his leprosy for him to be able to remain in his house in Bethany and entertain guests at dinner. For lepers were required to live outside a city in groups with other lepers. Sometimes Christians are remembered for what they used to do or for what they once were instead of what they became by the grace of Jesus. Matthew 26:7. A woman came up to him with an alabaster flask, a very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. Matthew does not name this woman, but she used costly ointment to anoint Jesus' head, which demonstrated that to her Jesus was her king, or the Messiah, even as King David said his head was anointed with oil. Psalms 23:5. Messiah means anointed one, or king, And this woman publicly demonstrated her faith in Jesus as the Anointed One that God had promised to send. Because she loved the one who had forgiven her for her sins and given her eternal life, she knew that Jesus deserved all the good that she could do for him, no matter what the cost to her personally. Matthew 26:8. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste?" Judas may have instigated and rallied some of the other disciples around the idea that the woman had done for Jesus was a waste, and her gift to him could have been sold and used for something more worthy than anointing Jesus' head. Perhaps they were both angry and envious of Jesus because of what the woman did for him. Too often, well-meaning Christians are criticized for not giving their gifts the way someone else would like to see them used. We need to remember that what we do for Jesus is never wasted or a waste. Matthew 26:9. For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. The disciples knew of Jesus' concern for the poor and needy, for Jesus healed many and miraculously fed more than 5,000 people who came to hear him teach. Jesus always freely gave what God had given to him to benefit others. Judas would want the ointment sold so he could personally make a profit when he sold the ointment to help the poor. See John 12:5-6. Matthew 26:10. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me." Jesus immediately defended the honor and intention of the woman who sought to bless him. Jesus rebuked his disciples for rebuking the woman. Why were they trying to redirect the gift she was giving to Jesus? Were they really concerned for the poor? Why were they causing her trouble for doing him an innocent thing? She broke no laws to bless Jesus and anoint him with oil. She did perform a good service for Jesus, but a service preparing him for burial, which the disciples still refused to believe would happen. Jesus was known for his humility. Therefore, Jesus did not say that he deserved to have his head anointed because he was king of the universe and the promised Messiah. He simply accepted the good gift from the woman and defended her conduct. Matthew 26:11. For you always have the poor with you, but will not always have me. Jesus did not express any arrogance when he spoke to his disciples. Rather, Jesus said there is a time and place for everything. There will always be poor people that can be helped and should be helped. But there is also a time when we need to bless and serve Jesus before we do anything else. It seems the woman understood the truth of Jesus' words when Jesus said that within a few days he would be handed over to be crucified, and that he would not always be with her or them. Matthew 26:12. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Though she might not have known all that she was doing and why she was doing it, God providentially arranged for her to anoint Jesus' body for burial. She anointed his body when he could enjoy the soothing effects of the ointment before he suffered and died. We know that on the night before Jesus was arrested, that his disciples scattered in fear, and Peter denied him. What the woman did for Jesus could not be done at any other time, and it was done for him at the right time. Matthew 26:13. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Knowing he was about to die as a criminal on a cross, Jesus foretold that the story of her anointing him would be told around the world whenever the good news about his death and resurrection were proclaimed around the world. This amazing forecast came true. Only the Son of God could make such a prediction only a few days before he was to die and know that it would be fulfilled. It was, and is still being fulfilled. Questions for discussion and thinking further. 1. When did Jesus say he would be crucified? 2. Do you think the disciples believed or understood Jesus when he talked about his death and burial? Give a reason for your answer. 3. What type of people were involved in plotting Jesus' death? 4. When Jesus was at dinner in Bethany, what seemed to shock the disciples, and what did they say? 5. What prophecy did Jesus make during the dinner? Do you think it was fulfilled? How? International Bible Lesson, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. A Subtle Miracle of Jesus, Matthew 26:13. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. How many people can you think of who defended the honor of a woman and commended her actions and then died a few days later as a criminal after saying that what she had done would be proclaimed throughout the world? And after almost 2,000 years, what he said about her is still being repeated around the world. How many people can you think of who said a few days before they died on a cross that the good news of his death would be proclaimed throughout the whole world? And almost after 2,000 years, his death on a cross is still being proclaimed as good news around the world. How many people can you think of who proclaim that their death would enable the sins of the world to be forgiven? And today, we are still proclaiming the good news John wrote about him in 1 John 2:2. Quote, "He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." The name of only one person comes to mind, Jesus. Only Jesus fulfilled all these stupendous prophecies. It is doubtful that any mere human could have successfully forecast any one of these three achievements. Only Jesus could fulfill all his words, and he did so because he rose from the dead, and he was and is all he said about himself. Skeptics may doubt Jesus walked on water or stilled a storm, but those miracles seem easy compared to Jesus' words about the woman who honored him, still being talked about everywhere today. Copyright 2019, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Permission granted for not-for-profit use.